As promised, we're joined right now by UFC president, friend of the program, UFC 278, Usman v. Edwards 2. It's live from Salt Lake City, prelims, live on ABC and ESPN. The main card is on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Dana White is my guest. Dana, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good, dude. How about you?
I'm awesome.
All right, so Kamaru Usman stepping into the cage Saturday against Leon Edwards. Dana, I sat with Usman on Radio Row before the Super Bowl. Could not have been more impressed. It was a couple of days after his hand surgery, and still the guy showed up with so much it, so much presence. You've been around the best of the best. What is it that makes this guy special in your mind?
Well, obviously his talent. I mean, the guy is an absolute stud. Look at what he's done. He's never lost here. He's lapping guys in that division, and he's on his way to GOAT status. The guy's going to be in the conversation. This Saturday, if he wins, he breaks Anderson Silva's record for consecutive title defenses. And, you know, then he has to start being talked about with John Jones, Anderson Silva, GSP.
You know, I was going to say just that, Dana. Like, when you look at the talent in the welterweight division and what this guy's done to everybody in that division, is the debate about greatest welterweight ever officially over, or do GSP fans still have an argument?
He's definitely the greatest welterweight of all time. There's no doubt about it. I mean, if you just look at the competition that he fought, that he beat, that he's defended the title against, and he's breaking the record, I mean, he's the greatest welterweight ever. After Saturday, you start talking about him being one of the greatest ever in the sport.
Dana White's joining us. So, Dana, what about Edwards? Like, the Hollywood ending for this guy would be he beats Usman, he wins the belt from the guy who beat him 7 years ago. You know, Usman, he says that hearing stuff like that only gets him motivated, gets him jacked up. Do you get the feeling that people are overlooking Edwards at all going into the fight?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You can't overlook this guy. This guy is the real deal. And he lost to Usman once. He knows what he needed to work on and what the holes in his game were. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does. And, yes, you said it perfectly. I mean, talk about a Hollywood ending for him, taking out the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world as he's just about to break the record of Anderson Silva.
Dana White joining us, UFC 278, Usman v. Edwards 2, live from Salt Lake City. I mean, Dana, obviously one fight at a time, but one more thing about Usman. He talks about the fact that when he has a challenge and he conquers it, he feels like he's alive. He's talked in the past that he's wanted to move up to 205, earn even more respect. I mean, could you see that move happening, and would you be good with a move like that?
I don't know, man. 205 is another. 85 would be something, but 205, I don't know about that. That's two full weight classes in this sport. That's a big deal.
Dana White joining us. All right, Dana, so you got a number of other really interesting fights on that card, including Jose Aldo looking for his fourth straight win at bantamweight. How has he looked to you in his last three fights?
Well, it's incredible. If you look at how long this guy dominated as champion in his weight class, and now, I mean, he's still, what is he, like ranked number three in the world, you know? At his age, taking on all these young guys, it's very impressive. And Merab is going to be a very tough fight for him.
Now, Sean O'Malley, for instance, has said that if Aldo gets that, he should get a title shot if he wins Saturday night. We're in the middle of a lot of action in the division that started last weekend. It continues through UFC 280 in October. How do you see the bantamweight division stacking up right now?
Yeah, it's fun, man. It's fun. I mean, you got Peter Yan, you know, Dillashaw's back, Jose Aldo's still in the mix, Corey Sandhagen is unbelievable, you know, the Dominic Cruz, Chito Vera fight that just happened on Saturday night in San Diego was awesome, and, you know, you got Sean O'Malley, too.
All right, so if O'Malley beats Yan at 280, where does O'Malley fit into the title fight discussions?
Yeah, O'Malley's in the top three. He beats Peter Yan, he's in the top three. And, you know, he's facing nothing but straight killers. Talking about the champ, Aljamain Sterling, you got TJ Dillashaw, Jose Aldo, Sandhagen is nasty. Marlon Vera, like I said, a lot of nasty dudes in that division.
We're talking to Dana White. So, Dana, before we get to 280, you've got 279. Leon Edwards was talking about UFC 279 recently. He said that facing Khamzat Chimaev is not fair to Nate Diaz. Quote, he's done so much for the company. I wish they gave him a veteran, a nice fight to bow out to give him an up-and-coming guy that's had four or five fights in the UFC and a wrestler guy as well. I think they bleeped up. They should have given him a better fight, end of quote. So, Dana, what's your reaction when you hear that?
Well, he wanted Francis Ngannou. Should I have given him?
Well, there is that, right?
Ngannou, for those of you that are listening and don't know, is a heavyweight. Okay. What I'd like to do is I'd like to get Leon Edwards on the phone to deal with Nate Diaz for about a month. And let's see what he says a month from now.
I know where you're going with that, Dana. You and I have talked for a long time about Nate. Now, you know, I love talking to you about Nate because I know that negotiating with the Diaz brothers is like nothing else in the business. For the record, this is a guy who wanted to fight Ngannou, who outweighs him by 80 pounds. Like, how would you describe what it's like to negotiate with Nate?
Well, here's the other thing before it's, I mean, about negotiating with him. Negotiating with a lot of these guys is very fun, let me tell you. But the truth of the matter is, what if he beats Khamzat Chimaev? You know what I mean? Khamzat Chimaev is a human being. He's human. I get it. Stylistically, they don't match up. But this is the fight that Nate wanted. Do you hear Nate walking around, you know, bitching in interviews saying, oh, they threw this guy? No, this is what he wanted. Either him or Francis Ngannou are the two fights he wanted. What if he wins? Then what? You know what I mean? Yeah, that's why I don't listen to any of these. How many fights has Leon Edwards or Dan Hardy made? The answer is none. They've never made any. I've been making fights for 22 years. Leave it to the pros, boys. You just stick to what you do. Worry about Saturday night and Kamaru Usman.
Dana White is joining us. Dana, you and I have talked about Chimaev for a long time. You know how I feel about him, too. And you know how I feel about Nate. I mean, it's a wild fight. Stylistically, it might not be what Leon wants to see or others, but how do you see that fight going?
Well, you don't know. What you imagine is Khamzat could probably come in, double leg him, take him down, and absolutely smash him. But the Diaz brothers are both durable. Nate's a durable guy. You saw in the last fight when Khamzat fought Gilbert Burns, you know, he was exhausted by the third round. As the fight goes on, Nate Diaz gets stronger. So, believe me, they're both human beings. Anything is possible. Anything can happen. And more importantly, this is the fight that Nate Diaz wanted.
Dana White joining me. So, Dana, I'm just jumping around really quickly. This fall marks 2 years since Khabib last stepped into the cage. Do you ever reach out or hit him up about coming back, or do you just leave that alone?
Khabib?
Yes.
Yeah, no, Khabib's retired. I it's funny that you asked me. It's weird that you asked me that question, actually. I just reached out to him recently to see if he was interested in something. He's like, I'm retired, brother. I'm done. So I don't think Khabib ever comes back.
But you tried, though.
Well, it was something different. I was trying to get him to do a grappling match.
And he didn't want any part of that either.
He's like, I'm done. I'm retired.
Why do you think he feels that strongly about that when you know he's got so much he could still do if he wanted to?
I think that when his father passed away, that was a wrap for him. And he's just focused on training other guys and helping them become world champions. Hmm.
Dana White joining me. Dana, so Mike Tyson recently praised you for turning down millions of dollars in relation to a Hulu show about him. For those who don't know, what happened and how would you describe that relationship with Mike?
Yeah, no, I we were about to do this deal on this show that was coming out about him. And my guy in production said, I'm hearing that Mike isn't happy with this thing. So I called Mike and he made it very clear that he wasn't happy with this biography or whatever the hell it is on him. And so I said, then I won't promote it.
Yeah, I get that. Out of respect to your friend. What is it, Dana, what's about Mike? I know you're a boxing guy as well. Like, what's your connection to Mike? Why is that bond so strong between you and Mike?
Well, we've been friends for almost 25 years. And you know, behind the scene, Mike and I have done a lot of things together. And, you know, I love the guy. I grew up watching him. He ended up becoming one of my good friends. And, you know, I care about the guy. So, you know, and that means more to me than any amount of money.
Dana White joining me. So, Dana, really quickly, let me go off the board for a moment. You recently did an interview with GQ, and as part of it, you said Caesar's Palace is the best casino in the world. It's interesting. I want to say back in the day when I spent a lot more time in Vegas, I used to love the old DI. I love the Desert Inn, old school, cool as hell. And I would agree with you. I used to love gambling at Caesars for the same reason, old school, cool as hell. Let me get your take. Lay it out for me. What makes Caesars the best casino?
Well, first of all, you know, they'll let you play big money, big odds. You know, they're very good if you're a player. But the other thing is they take really good care of their players, you know. You know, I've been at Caesars for a long time. Every Christmas, they have like this massive ballroom, and it's full of snowmobiles, motorcycles, jewelry, clothing, you name it, electronics, and they let their players go shopping there. You go take whatever you want. They're very old school in the way that they take care of their players. None of the other casinos do that anymore. Everybody's, you got all these bean counters, and you know, it's just not the same. Caesars is the same as it was 30 years ago.
It's old school cool. I always felt the same way about that. Hey, Dan, really quickly, you mentioned San Diego. What was the San Diego weekend like? I mean, when you take the tour all over the place, you've seen every kind of town, any kind of country, every kind of venue. What was San Diego like?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was good to be back down in San Diego. The fans were incredible. The place was sold out. We broke the arena record. The vibe in there, first of all, was an early fight in the day, not at night. The vibe in there was like a pay-per-view. I felt like I was at a pay-per-view event on Saturday.
All right, so UFC 278, Usman v. Edwards 2. It's live from Salt Lake City. The prelims are live on ABC and ESPN. The main card is on ESPN Plus, pay-per-view. UFC President Dana White closing the show on this Tuesday. Dana, appreciate you as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you, buddy.
Dana White closing the program for us.